trouble on every hand, prophecy coming to pass all over the world. The Antichrist is already probably on the deck and stirring. The system is growing day by day. And the calamities of the book of Revelation are standing on the perimeter of man's experience. And we're looking at it and we're not afraid. And we don't come to the moment timidly or worried or harried, but we come in the confidence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by His word. And we cry with the church of the ages, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. And we're not looking to escape the trouble on the earth. We're looking for His Spirit to be poured out on all flesh. And if the trouble drives men to their knees, we love revival. And if the trouble causes men and women to come and be filled with the Holy Ghost, we love revival. So, if the story of Israel is any indication, when people have everything they need and all is at rest, they are not motivated toward God, but toward the gods of the world. But it's when men and women experience trouble. Now, I don't believe it has to be that way. I really believe we can walk in the blessing and be a blessing. But God does have a way of getting your attention. And in our world today, we're excited about the advent of great, great revival. Now, we're going to continue with a line of discussion that we started on Wednesday evening. And I don't mean to be rude to you by turning my back to you, but this is eminently more important than what you and I are doing right now. So we're going to have a Holy Ghost interruption here for a moment or two, and then we'll just pick right back up. We may or may not read a text, and we'll get as far as we can today. But this is exactly what we're talking about Wednesday and today. Moving of the Spirit of God and a Pentecostal theology throughout the Word of God. Ah, hallelujah. Everybody say in Jesus' name. That's how we put them down in the water, just like Peter, just like Paul, just like everybody that was baptized in the Word of God. We're 2,000 years away in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. There ought to be some rejoicing here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We magnify you, we praise you, we worship you. We lift you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is great church. I didn't say this is a great church. I said this is good church. That's what we're having. It's an experience. It's not a series of attendance. Where's my bulletin? I can't quite stay on track today. People keep interrupting by getting the Holy Ghost and getting baptized in Jesus' name. Hey. Yeah, sing some of that, Brother Warren. Take me to the water.
Take me to the water. Come on, sing with me. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Yeah. To be baptized. Oh, yeah. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Oh, yeah. Take me to got the Holy Ghost.
Oh, let's give God praise. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. I can't stop loving him. My God, how good. Why don't somebody just shout a little bit? Or just have yourself a little fit. Shake yourself like Paul told Timothy. Shake yourself like Samson. Let the anointing break. Now, a little tutorial for you. If you folks would have all this Holy Ghost and baptism at the end of the service, I could leave and go to McDonald's and you wouldn't be wasting my time. See, you don't understand the kingdom of God. You got grits for brains. You don't understand anything at all about what God's doing. And you might as well be in a dead, dull, quasi-pseudo church. You might as well go to some man-made, non-biblical creation. Because you don't have a clue. This is what it's about. The response to you would be the response Jesus gave to the Pharisees that said, why are you taking all your time with the Republicans and the sinners? And he told them about when lost things need attention, that's what I pay attention to. And there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. When there's a coin lost in the house, we shake up the house and we turn on the light. And when there's one that's wandered off, we go and get them. And when the prodigal comes in, we have a party. And the elder brother doesn't understand the party. But this is what the party's about. The party's about men and women being filled with the Holy Ghost and having their sins washed away. Give your neighbor a high five and say, let's have a party in the house of God. Well, now listen, we only have a few minutes here because our schedule's been just torn to shreds today. Why don't you have a seat? We're talking about, we're making our way through the Old Testament. We're on Zechariah, fixing. That's a southernism, fixing. We're about to move into Malachi and launch out into the New Testament. And as we do, it is inescapable that Zechariah in every chapter has supernatural, spiritual, revelatory, visionary encounters with God. The word of God comes to him. Angels come to him. He sees visions. He sees things in immediate settings. And he sees down beyond where we're living today. He sees literally the coming of the Lord in chapter 12 and chapter 14. And when the Lord does come, it's an amazing and wonderful affirmation for the theology that God has revealed to us. When God comes back, the creator God comes back, the God that breathed the spirit of life into man, when he comes back, Israel sees nail prints in his hands. Well, praise God. And they understand that they missed him the first time. And Zechariah, like Adam, walked with God. And like Enoch, walked with God. And like Noah, heard and got a plan from God. And like Abraham, got a covenant relationship from God. And like Moses, the spirit of Moses breaks out of him and gets on the 70. And the 70 walk in the spirit of God. And Joshua sees the captain of the Lord's host. And I'm telling you again and again and throughout the word of God, this thing never can be reduced or distilled down to the academic or the intellectual. I want you to study. I want you to be smart. I want you to use every bit of gray matter that God gave you. But there is a lion's share of this that is experiential. And it's experiential in the spirit. And you can't sit down on it. And you can't fold your hands. And you can't close your mind. And this is not the posture of worship. Worship is alive. And it's moving. And the word of God said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Praise him on stringed instruments. Praise him on organs. Praise him on high sounding cymbals. Praise him on loud cymbals. Praise him with the timbrel. And praise him with the dance. And David comes down Main Street dancing with all of his might. And Paul and Silas worship and sing and shout in a prison cell. through the ages, it's been stripped bare. And it's been created in the image of man. And they scream and shout all over the country yesterday. They screamed and they shouted and they frothed at the mouth for college boys chasing a oblong ball down a 100-yard field. And they paid a great price. And they yelled until their voices were shot. But this morning, if they're in the house of God, they're sitting like a bump on a pickle. And they won't offer God the praise that they give to the gods of the world. And they won't give God the glory that they... And their passion. Here's the thing. Their passion is out there. Their passion. Their heart is out there. And I'll just tell you, if you're not passionate about this, you don't know him. And if you're not passionate about this, you're not going to make it. And if you're not, Jesus said, I'd rather you hot or cold. I'd rather you absolutely cold. But if you're lukewarm about this, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Praise the Lord. Always a spiritual relationship and experience. So I'm going to open this up in Malachi to you tonight, or rather today, and we'll go on with it tonight. But I want to just set the scene for you before I turn you loose into the fast fooderies and cafeterias and wherever it is you're going to go. By the way, this is Labor Day weekend, and we have a lot of folks on the road, so you want to be sure to be in prayer for them. That God will give them safety and strength and good fellowship, and that he'll bless them and help them. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein have you loved us? They question God's intent and motive. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob? And I hated Esau. But I want you to notice the turn of the question here. God says, I love you. And they say, how have you loved us? Chapter 1 and verse 7. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? They don't get it. They don't understand. Chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein? How have we wearied him? And he explains, when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. But he gives them the answer in all of these settings, but the proposition is, they don't know and they don't understand what pleases God, how they have vexed God. These are the people of God. They have been in captivity for 70 years. They're back in the land. God has allowed them to rebuild the city, the wall, and the temple. And they don't know God. And when he comes to them and says, I love you, they say, we didn't know that you loved us. When he says, you weary me, they say, how? How have we wearied you? Chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein? How have we robbed you? And he gives them the answer, but they don't know the heart of God, and they don't know the system of God, and they don't know how to live for God, and they're supposed to be the light of God, and they're supposed to be the portal by which the Gentiles come to God, but they've forgotten God. Now the door is closed. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? Come on, God. You're asking too much from us. Come on, God. We don't even understand what your complaint is about. But Israel and Judah are in deadness and sin and worldliness and carnality. And they've lost their relationship in the spirit. Because this has never been about religion. All the while here, they're offering up sacrifices. All the while, they have a temple, a priesthood, it's not like they closed down the temple. They didn't do that ever again after the day of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the city. But they have the religion. They have the externals. They have the forms, but they don't know God. And so they've lost their relationship in the spirit, and they've lost the capacity to see beyond the natural. They've lost, consequently, the capacity to differentiate between good and evil, because you lose that. When you lose your tether comes loose from the things of the spirit, it becomes all blurry. You begin to move in areas where before you'd never, ever lay your hand, but now you've lost the capacity to differentiate good and evil. And they've lost all understanding about how to please God. But there is a prophet among them. And while they're in this condition, there are still some there in that community that remain faithful to God. Chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Can I tell you that there will always be a church? There will always be somebody that is holding out, somebody that is praying, somebody that is living it. Don't ever let anybody else tell you that the days of the church are over, or that men and women faithful and living for God in a powerful way has come to an end, because there's always somebody left. And God says in verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. They have a prophet, and they have a moving of the spirit, and they have a relationship in the spirit of God. Even though there's deadness and tradition and religion all around them, and those that are participating in them have no knowledge of God in a relationship sense or in an experiential spiritual sense. And our world is caught in the same prophetic river that we were talking about the other night with Zechariah, how that these kingdoms rise up and melt down again in this river of time and prophecy. And a prophet rises up in his moment in the glory and in the sun. And he prophesies and he sees things at great distances. And here today, we are a church of the living God. And we have a moment here. And along this prophetic river and in this flowing of time, we have risen up and God has called us. But the question is there somebody here that realizes that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you realize that you've been called to, you can't do anything about the past, and I can't tell you much about the future, but right now, this morning, in the flowing of the prophetic spirit of God, there are men and women in this house that God wants to give a vision to, that God wants to give a dream to, that God wants to transform and build destiny in. Somebody that God wants to lift up a little bit higher and let you see what God is about to do in your life. But as it was with Zechariah, and as it was with Malachi, as it was with Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat. I sat among the captives by the river Chebar, and I saw visions of God. These are the same people that hang their harps upon the willows, and they said, we cannot sing the songs of God in a foreign land. You've got one sitting there in depression, sucking his thumb, and another one sitting beside him, and he's astonished for 7 days, because God just keeps raining down vision and power upon him. In this house today, every bit of power that's ever been in God is available in this place to every man and every woman and every young person. But somebody's got to lift up their head and say, this world is not enough, and the tradition is not enough, and religion is not enough, and the world's ways, that's not enough, and their passion, that's not enough. I want more of God. Come on, is there anybody here today that wants more of God? Mighty God, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. I want more. I want to know more. I want to see more. I want to have more in the kingdom of God. Because I only get this little moment. And as all the legion, this great line, this great host, prophets and teachers and saints, elders have risen and they've run and they've collapsed back into the sands of the riverbed of the prophetic flow of God. So we rise now and we run now. And the mandate is in our hand now. And the opportunity is at our door now. And whether you are saved or lost, saint or sinner, on fire or backslidden to your core, this is your moment. This is how you're spending it. And at some point, your day, your time, your race, and you fall back into the sands of the prophetic river of God. And your time is done. You've heard the expression, life is too short, and then people fill in the blanks with various and sundry things. Life is too short not to enjoy your children. Life is too short not to optimize your relationship with your husband or your wife. Life is too short because people come to the end all the time and they say, I wish I would have. Nobody says, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. Nobody says, I wish I would have built another whatever. Nobody says, but in that moment when realization just comes like, and let me tell you, it's going to come just like a flood. You may be ultra busy. You may be very successful. You may think you understand your dream and your destiny and your vision. But there's going to come a moment of clarity when you know that that reaper has laid his hand on your shoulder, or that trump sounds and you know all of time is about to end. Clarity is going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. And every, you know how they say your whole life passes before your eyes? That's far too common. That's far too common to be simple superstition. It literally does. It literally passes. And I want you to know those sweet things that God has placed in your life, you need to drink the cup and drink it deep and love with all of your heart, and do those things that are precious in your life. Do them with all of your heart and with all of your strength, and capitalize on the good things. This world wants to suck every bit of that out of you, and wants to tell you how horrible things are and how bad it is and how you can't get anywhere and you can't do anything. But and then you ought to hear what they have to say about the kingdom of God and trying to live for God like this. But I'm just going to tell you, there is no better life. There is no better life than living a committed, spiritually experiential life in the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Somebody that loves him, shout amen. Praise God. And some for whom the spirit and the spiritual things are primary, they see, as did these prophets of old. And for those that don't have a current encounter with the Spirit of God, all they see is the natural flow of history, the natural solutions, the natural empires, the natural things all around them. That's where their passion is. That's where their heart is. But understand this, that all of those things, as kingdoms and as civilizations and as people groups and ruling heads of state, all of them have collapsed back into that river of flowing prophecy and time. And not one of them has escaped the parameters that God has placed on all of mankind. And today, I feel so compelled to tell you, in the midst of the worship and in the midst of the prayer today, heaven came down in this place. That's not happening everywhere. It's not happening every day. It's only happening in places where people have their hearts open and they're saying, God, whatever you want, however you want it, whenever you want it, I'm on call. I got my Holy Ghost beeper on. You just tell me exactly. You want to pour out the Holy Ghost in the middle of this service? You wreck that schedule. You tear that bulletin up. My God, if we don't ever get to the preaching, I don't care. If you don't get to go to Burger King because the young people are falling out in the floor talking in tongues, losing their minds in a spiritual experience with God, I really don't care. My God, I believe the day's coming where we'll be in this house all night long. We pray. worshiping and calling on God with men and women receiving the Holy Ghost. There's coming a day where we'll baptize all night long. And the line, you say, well, I've never seen that before. Friend of mine, it's here. It's here. It's time. All we need is somebody that'll rise up in their moment and see what God sees. Take ownership. Lay hold. Draw it close to your heart. We can't begin to work this today. We'll try to work it a little bit tonight. Why don't we stand up together? We're not going to give an altar call per se, because a whole bunch of people already got the Holy Ghost. But what I would like for you to do is, if you have family here, I'd like for you to come down to the altar all together with your family. I want to greet some folks today. We have a wonderful group of visitors in our home. We have the children and some of the spouses of some of our oldest, dearest friends, Dawn and Terry Summers, and Dawn and Rob Pereira, and like two rows of them here. These are all siblings or spouses of siblings. Whole bunch of kids. We're just glad they're in the house. These are precious, precious people to us. And as they filled up our house this weekend, my heart, my mind was filled up with memories and flooding moments. And what I'm telling you today about the rapidity and the brevity of life is so accented to me when I see little babies. When I was teaching Dawn and Rob Bible study, Robin was in a diaper on her tiptoes. She had calves like a running back because she went everywhere on her tiptoes. And I can't help it, but when I see you, I see that sometimes. You can't escape that. But Robin, it went by like that. Just went by like that. But we're, for all of you that are visitors here today, don't be a stranger. This is an altar call, but the altar belongs to you. This is a place where we come and we make commitments to God, and we renew our vision and renew our faith, and where we come and stand before God and make proclamations and stand up on the power of the promise of God and see beyond the range of the natural. So this morning, I'd like for you to come down with your family. If you don't have family here, adopt somebody. Just come up and say, will you adopt me? Can I stand and pray with you? Would you all just come down? And now you got to hug up. You got to get those arms around one another. And whoever's in charge there, begin to just tell them, we want to see what God has. We want to know what God has. If you're first down here, step up close. Make room. There's others coming behind you. Praise God. That's right. Now let's lift it up in prayer. God, mighty God, I want you to move in my home. I want you to move in my family. I want you to move in my life, in my children. Praise God. Let's move on down this way. Go fill in those empty spaces. That's right. Tell those people you love, we're going to draw close to God. We want to experience everything that He has for us. If you're a dad or a mom and you're in authority, you tell them as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for one another. Pray. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you. While you got them there now, anoint that prayer circle, talk in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Lay your hands on somebody right by you and just talk in tongues with authority right now. Would you do that? Lay claim to the promise of God. She's doing a work right now in this altar, church. Could you just press into that? Could you just let God use your vessel? Are happening right now, church. Just press on in.
Take a little time.
If you gotta go, this is America. Do what you gotta do.
Hallelujah.
But if you want to be a part of what God is doing, go ahead and press into this.